not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. So this is going to be a program today that is going to be challenging spiritual leadership here in our community, our county, and our country to be what God has called us to be. So let's look at verse number 20. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. So even if you are living in adverse times, and the will of society, which was talked about in verse number 10, where people say that they will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits, get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cease, or cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Even though that's what the will of society is, and when the people of God appear to be under intense pressure, God says, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. It is time for the church to once again rise up as the messengers of truth, the messengers of good news, the messengers of deliverance from oppression. One of the things that was talked about with adversity is that that is a time of opposition, and affliction is a sign of distress and oppression. So whenever you find yourself under attack, and even though it may be uncomfortable, God says, I am going to raise up teachers, people who know me, know the word, live the word, and they will not be moved into a corner anymore. Church is not meant to just be four walls on a Sunday morning and you get to gather around and have a little social club for an hour and a half, or something like that. It is supposed to be a transformational encounter with the Word of God, where the truth of God goes forth and it makes a difference in people's lives, people's marriages, people's souls, people's health, people's finances, and the way that they do business. It is supposed to transform society. But we're going to have the same type of holy boldness that the disciples had when they said, don't teach in the name of Jesus anymore. And the disciples said, whether it is right in your eyes or not, we can't help but to do what God has called us to do. And you know what? Even though they received lashes, they were disciplined for continuing to teach. They said, I thought we told you not to do this. They said, we told you we were going to. That after that, the disciples rejoiced that they had been counted worthy of suffering for the Lord. And the church held a prayer meeting. And you know what the church's prayer meeting was about? Lord, give us boldness that we will not compromise the message and we will continue to go forth in Jesus' name. And they did, and he did. So let's be looking for people that will not be intimidated, will not be put in a corner and say, you stay there until you learn how to behave the way that we want you to behave. And instead, let's have a group of people that say, you know what? God has commissioned us, called us, and empowered us to go into all the world to teach them and make disciples of all nations. So your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. And then there's another aspect of the promise, and it said they're going to be visible and they're going to be able to be heard. It says, but your eyes shall see your teachers, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now, I want you to understand that what is being described here is that there is a relationship. Now, I will tell you that over the past year, live streaming church services has become something that's much more commonplace. We were already doing that beforehand. We adjusted that to some degree during the real intense early beginnings of that. We repositioned our stage and our camera and all that sort of stuff. But now we're back. But I will tell you that over the last few weeks and few months, that the ability to live stream, even though we're using all of the same technology, has encountered a lot more interference. It's not incompetence on our part. It's just been interference. So one week, the entire audio completely was nowhere to be seen. That came on the heels of many times that the worship service was muted and said, you don't have a license, or you've got to have a license for this. We said, we have the license for this. Posted the license that for Facebook to see, and yet they still mute parts of the service. And I will tell you that with society becoming more and more oppressive and more intolerant of the Word of God, which is settled forever in heaven, there's going to be a greater silencing, and we cannot refuse to speak up just because somebody doesn't like what the message that we have to speak is. So what I want to encourage you is, it is time not just for the church to rise up in boldness, but it's time that the saints rose up in boldness and say, we need to get back to the house of God. As convenient as live streaming or television services are, it isn't a substitute unless there are no other options available for you. You need fellowship with one another. You need that personal dynamic that comes from having a pastor or a staff member. You know, if you're at a large church, chances are you may have very few encounters with the pastor. I couldn't do that. I'll just tell you, I serve in the Assemblies of God. We have a district, 350 churches, but I have a pastor, a superintendent that knows my name, knows my wife's name, prays for us, knows my kids, knows our church. I couldn't deal. I would not be able to thrive if there was not that personal dynamic that was there. And so in Jesus' time, they would have a time every day where they were counting the sheep, but there was also personal care, personal attention that was given to the sheep. So I want to embolden you to say, look, I'm not looking just to go to a place where I can go and nobody will notice me. I'll be able to slip in and slip out. I'll be able to come in. I'll be able to say, oh, I go here, but nobody really knows me. No one really knows who I am, what I'm going through. I don't really have a network. And so here, God promises for the people, teachers that they would be able to see, teachers that they would be able to have a relationship with. And he also says that you would be able to walk in such a proximity that you would hear with your ears the words of your teacher behind you. In other words, it wasn't just an encounter that they had once a week. The teacher and the student were on the journey together. Okay? And so it wasn't the teacher doing everything for the student, but there was a training. And I've told you before, many people have received training on what to think. They haven't received training on how to think. And so in verse number 21, there is a promise that when you have waited upon God, and God being a God of justice, that he's going to provide for you a teacher, an instructor, a guide that will go along with you on the journey. And when you come to a crossroad, an intersection, if you will, where there are multiple options, you will have somebody that will be there to say, this is the way. Walk in it. And it says, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, this is the way. Walk in it. Did you know that as a Christian, I am called to walk in righteousness in good times? I am called to walk in righteousness in difficult times. I am called to walk in righteousness when I am healthy. I am called to walk in righteousness when I am sick. I am, you name it, coming in, going out. It doesn't matter. I walk in fellowship with God. I walk in right standing with God, no matter what is going on with society around me. Now, you might be in a position like Jeremiah was, where people are saying, stop talking. You know, Jeremiah sent a prophetic word to the king, and the king literally ripped it up and threw it into the fire. And Jeremiah said, oh, you thought that was going to do away with the word? Well, I want you to know, God still remembers what he said. This is what he said, and this is what's going to happen to you as a result of that. Not only did the king not want to hear his word, the people didn't want to hear his word. And yet, here we are with Jeremiah still being an influential book of the Bible, about 2,600 years after the fact. 586, 87, somewhere in there, so roughly around 580 B.C., 26, right around 2,700 years ago. And here we are still remembering, and I wonder how many people know Jeremiah 29:11. I wonder how many people still quote that. We've already talked about that. Let's look at another benefit today. It's in verse number 23. Then he will give the rain for your seed with which you sow the ground, and the bread of the increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful. In that day your cattle will feed in large pastures. Likewise, the oxen, the young donkeys that work the ground, will eat cured fodder which has been winnowed with the shovel and fan. He says, I am going to provide for you the rain from heaven. It is going to transform your seed, which you have sown in the ground. And it is going to transform that seed into the bread of the increase of the earth. Now, I will tell you this. Seed that is kept in the barn is not going to be transformed. Seed that is never sown will never be transformed. you and I, we have got to be faithful stewards of what God has entrusted to us. When God entrusts something to us, 90% of it is ours, 10% of it is God's. I can also tell you this, that the government would starve to death on 10%. The kingdom of God would thrive on 10%. I've read many books that talk about what could the church do if more people tithed. I read something recently along the lines that there's roughly there is a very small percentage of the church that actually believes in tithing or gives. There's a lot of people, and they say, well, that's old covenant. Actually, it predates the old covenant. And it outlives the old covenant. And if you want to get technical about it, the new covenant does not diminish the old covenant. It actually elevates, it raises the standard so that if God came and said, look, I gave it to you, and now I need you to entrust all of it into another area, that we could say, yes, Lord, and we would come out the better for it. Because if you're faithful in that which is little, you're going to be faithful in that which is much. So many people are looking for God to transform their finance, their financial reality, but if they never learn to sow, then it doesn't matter how much rain, how much blessing God pours out, it's going to bless everything else around it, but it will not transform that seed that hasn't been sown. God will give you a harvest of seed to sow and bread to eat. Every farmer that I know through the years has said the best seed is the first seed that the crop produces, and so you want to save that so that you can sow it next year and have an even better harvest. So tithing is not just 10%, it's the first 10%. Okay, but here God says, I'm what you sow in the ground, the bread of the increase of the earth. I can tell you, we have some banners that we put out on Sunday morning in the front of the church. And now that it's rainy season, the stakes that are in the ground that we go and insert into the banners, the banners are supported by those stakes in the ground. We didn't want it to be a tripping hazard or anything, so we have it down in the ground. Well, I want you to know, because of the rain, things are growing so fast that I am having to go out there and constantly, you know, remove the vegetation, remove the growth from around those stakes, just so I can figure out where to hang the banner. God can cause increase to come at an exponential rate. That seed that you sow and that is blessed by the rain from heaven and increase comes, it is not just something that is going to bless you. It says it will be fat, it will be plentiful. In that day, your cattle will feed in large pastures. The oxen, the young donkeys, will eat cured fodder, which has been winnowed with a shovel and the fan. What's going to happen is you and everything that you own is going to be blessed. It's going to be satisfied. It's going to be strengthened. It's going to be able to work harder and longer, so that your next harvest is even a better harvest. Okay? I think that we need to, at some point in time, come to that place of recognition of just how dependent we are upon God for his substantial blessings. Not too long ago, I saw a satellite picture. I've seen a number of satellite. Let me tell you about some of the older ones first. I have seen satellite pictures of a region in the world that was governed by communism. And it was this massive sea that has literally dried up because of the way that they abused the sea. The sea isn't there anymore. Literally, these large ships that used to be necessary to navigate the waterways are now stranded. Okay? You say, well, that's due to climate change. Well, possibly, but I will also tell you this, that there are places that people used to inhabit that are now submerged underwater. So there are places that had water that don't have it anymore. There are places that didn't have water that now do have water. And I have happened to believe that God is the one who causes the waters to come from heaven. Those waters dried up because the inflow that they used to have, something happened to it, and it's not there anymore. So you might want to look for a man-made solution. I won't look at it and say, I wonder if there's a spiritual component there. Maybe not always, but I think that there is a very good chance that there's probably a spiritual component. And so we could see things like that taking place on a global scale in a land far, far away. But I recently saw pictures from here in America of a lake that used to be very substantial. And now the satellite images show that it is a fraction of what it used to be. And if that was me, I would say, you know what? We need to pray. We need to wait upon the Lord. We need to return to Him and enter His rest and quietness and strength. We need to come to Him because we need God to pour out the blessing. I remember hearing a story about Charles Finney, I believe it was, who was asked while he was traveling to come to a region to pray because of a drought that they had been experiencing. And so the whole town came up and Charles Finney addressed the crowd and said, I see that I am the only one that came to this prayer meeting with faith today because I'm the only one that brought my umbrella. And he began to pray and the rains came. We, on an agricultural scale, are desperate for the blessing from heaven. For our food supply, we are desperate for the blessing of heaven. Spiritually, we are critically dependent upon the blessing of heaven. And so today, may the preachers, the pastors, and the teachers, may we come out of our corner where we have been told to stay. May we come out empowered and connected with people so that they can see that there are people who are living the Word of God. Maybe we be walking in relationship with them so that they can hear the personal direction and say, this is the way to go when you are faced with this option. And may we say, God, we are desperate. We are in need of the blessing from heaven that will transform the seed that we sow into a financially transforming event. Years ago, I watched a video of a city that was horribly poor and horribly hungry. They turned to God. God poured out the blessing from heaven, and their crops grew like they had never grown before. That community was radically changed. may it happen here in Brevard County. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I seem to drift away. Can you draw me close to you again? We need to hear you speak to us. Need to hear your voice again. You're the only one with words of life. Minister to me. Let me hear your voice. Know how much I need you, Lord. This is my choice to let you fill me up as I lift you up. I need more of your spirit to fill this empty cup. You alone are life to me, you're the water of my soul. I'm a dried out field, I need your rain. You're the only hope we have, the lifter of our heads. Lord, we know we're stranded without you. Minister to me, let me hear your voice. You know how much I need you. Lord, this is my choice to let you fill me up as I lift you up. I need more of your spirit to fill this empty cup. Let me hear your voice. You know how much I need you. Lord, this is my choice to let you fill me up as I lift you up. I need more of your spirit to fill this empty cup. Minister to me, let me hear your voice. Know how much I need you, Lord, this is my choice to let you fill me up as I lift you up. I need more of your spirit to fill this empty cup. Ooh.